What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her. Bitch. Glass of red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture. Bitch. Here I go. Oh. Read about that in the New York fucking Post.
Hello, hello, hello. We are here to do everything but be cool, be chill, not sweat, have a normal temperature day. You know?
That would be nice.
Yeah.
But what we want to do isn't exactly gonna do.
Yeah. It's like 1,000 degrees. The weather was like, these bitches are talking about Olivia Wilde still and cringe.
Turn it up.
Okay, so we have a couple things. There's one thing that I didn't get to. In all of this, the stuff that we were just talking about Olivia Wilde, which is
the extended Don't Worry Darling universe.
Yeah, Nick Kroll's TikTok from the red carpet.
Wait, like he took a TikTok at the red carpet?
Oh, now,
cringe.
To explain what's going on in this clip, he's arriving and there's a bunch of people waiting outside for Olivia, Harry, and Florence.
Yes.
And he's driving in the limo to the event.
Yes.
Sorry.
Not us.
Not us.
Nope, nope. No. Oh, he's really looking.
Yeah. Not Harry. Not Olivia. Not no, Florence.
Still.
Hi.
But hey, Nick and Sid.
Hey, but
pretty fucking cool.
Hey, yeah, not a big deal.
We you won't know.
Yeah, you won't know.
But we're pretty cool.
But we're, I promise you, in very certain circles, we're sort of, hi, you don't know me.
No.
No.
No. Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
hi.
Faces of
hi.
Quiet disappointment.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Hi. Hi. You don't know me? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Hi.
No,
no. I don't
know. No. Hi.
No.
And then they end on a sign for like Armani and Campari, and I just think that that's funny. So that's all I have to say about Nick Kroll. Now, I do have some Jamie Lynn Spears updates that I wish I didn't have.
Oh, Lord mercy.
Can you read this headline for me?
Sure. From Just Jared, of course. Jamie Lynn Spears, Kate Gosselin, and more to star in Fox reality show Special Forces. Celebrity cast revealed.
So the Zoe...
Excuse me?
I almost called her the Zoe Deschanel 101. The Zoe 101 actress, Jamie Lynn Spears, and also Menace to Society. And John and Kate Plus 8's Kate Gosselin are set to star in Fox's Special Forces The Ultimate Test, which is an American version of a UK series in which celebrity contestants are put through a series of challenges similar to Special Forces training camps in the military.
What the fuckity fuck is that for? I was just watching celebrities like do boot camp.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Now, are you ready?
What in 2008 is this?
Are you ready to hear this cast?
Sure.
We have Jamie Lynn. We have Kate Gosselin. Uh-huh. We have Mel B. We have Hannah Brown from The Bachelorette. Okay. We have Gus Kenworthy, the gay skier. We have Seventh Heaven's Beverly Mitchell. We have Kenya Moore. And we have Anthony Scaramucci.
Okay. Scaramucci?
Yep.
One of them is not
his
like
wife
the rest.
Can't get cast on Real Housewives of New York, so he has to pay the bills somehow. We also have
that is
something
bleak
from Zac Efron about his plastic surgery and also his eating habits.
This kind of thing. I see men's health, so we're off to a good start.
Okay,
so are we finally gonna talk about it? Are we finally gonna talk about it?
I wish we wouldn't. Now, I do have a question for you.
Sure.
Did you watch High School Musical?
Of course I did. I was an HS 1 and 2 girl, not the 3. I didn't go that far. I didn't see the I didn't go to theaters.
Did you see the Sharpay movie?
Oh my God, did I? I'm pretty sure I did. Which one was that again? Obviously, I wasn't big enough of a fan. You're like fucking missed out.
She goes to Paris Fashion Week.
I barely remember that. We should watch that. I absolutely
It doesn't
that.
Exist, you slut.
You fucking suck. Fuck off. Fully Mandela affected my brain right there. That sounds real though, obviously.
Because I'm good at this. Now.
Yeah, you are good at this, you lying bitch.
Now, question.
I loved High School Musical 1 and 2.
Did you love Zac Efron? I'm trying to see what your opinion is about hot men, seeing as you're the gay person on this podcast.
That laugh was a little loaded.
It was very forced.
I mean, he's attractive, but it wasn't like...
You weren't like, I want to suck a D.
I wasn't like, that's the best.
You weren't like, slurp, slurp.
No, on no hands not and as knees. Much. No. Too fit.
I'm just curious, because I always like to know, like, I feel like that's a
too,
good...
Too twinky.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not really your vibe. Mm-hmm. I was definitely like...
I can't believe you have anyone from that movie that was...
But I wasn't into anyone with that haircut.
That's what it was, though, the 2007, like, swoosh.
If he had just cut his hair, it'd be fine.
Yeah, that probably would have done a lot.
In the current version of it, he would have that stupid TikTok dyed black hair with, like, the flip, the bump at the end. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, scary. I'm just asking mostly because, you know, he has been a figure
His aesthetics have changed interestingly over the years.
And also he's just been a fixture of public thirst for a very long time. And I think I'm starting to see a little bit what that might do to people living inside the panopticon of literally the entire planet's sexual desires for like 100 years. Now, listen to this. So this is from Men's Health.
The panopticon of the sexual desires of the last 100 years.
Yes.
Can you elaborate a bit more on that? I think I know what you mean, but.
Disney Channel.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
This Disney is Channel original movies, specifically. No,
this is a wild animation before the article.
I know. It's pretty troubling. It's pretty troubling. So the article is called Zac Efron Rides Again, and it's rides in Men's what? Health. It's giving very much like teen star ready to make his new pivot. And I'm just going to read a couple passages from it.
Even
that
he's
I think
fully 30-something now, right?
Yeah.
I think he's painted a very...
harrowing portrait of a man. So let's get into it. Oof. So Efron is actually bulking, he explains, for a yet to be announced role, but he isn't preparing for the same fervor he brought to his Baywatch training. He doesn't want that body anymore, or rather, he doesn't want to do what he did to achieve that body. That Baywatch look, I don't know if that's really attainable. There's just too little water in the skin. Like, it's fake. It looks like CGI. And that required Lasix powerful diuretics to achieve. So I don't need to do that. I much prefer to have an extra, you know, 2-3% body fat.
What percent did he say?
2-3% body fat. Okay.
That makes me feel... Okay, sorry.
So he's talking about being on intense... diuretics to achieve that look, basically depriving your body of water to lose literally any amount of mass that isn't muscle in your body.
I mean, I was gonna say it's like it's not necessary. I mean, it's starving yourself, not in like the literal "I'm not eating" way or
no. He's saying
way,
I literally was, but chronically,
yeah,
underhydrated.
Yeah, no, like you're literally trying to make sure things leave your body as fast as possible.
Also, I do think it's very interesting to see an actor who has lived within that like sex appeal realm for so long talking about
absolutely.
How the body that he portrays in those movies is not real or attainable.
We've known that for a while, that like these people have to literally be on the edge of death nearly to look the
way. But you know, you do get the ones who are like the newcomers to it. Like I'm thinking about like Kumail Nanjiani's like role in The Eternals, yeah. Where he was like, I worked out every day, and they like hire a personal trainer, and it's like very intense. And you know, like obviously normal people don't look like that, but I also like, you know, worked very hard to look like that, yada, yada, yada. And now he just like looks like that all the time because he's in Marvel. But you know, people who get into it aren't really, I think, keen, or at least studios are not keen on them, you know, running around telling everybody that you basically have to have an eating disorder and just a disordered lifestyle to achieve it. Yes. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself because he says this next quote. Okay, the fact that he was on intense diuretics is just...
That's already so bad.
And what's weirder is they just like leave it there. Not like leave it there, but like...
They're like, that's crazy.
They're like, wow,
that's
diuretics.
Not a sign of something really
Anyways,
dark and terrifying.
So beyond taking diuretics, he was overtraining and eating the same 3 meals every day. He wasn't sleeping enough. If filming stopped at midnight, he would still be awake up to 4 a.m. to train. Initially, he was excited about Baywatch. He thought it could help be a fun franchise and he liked his character, but the recovery walloped him. Efron says he doesn't want to sound like he's complaining, but he's opening up how because he wants people trying to obtain the Baywatch body to know how devastating the process was for him and how long the ill effects of his training lasted. I started to develop insomnia and I felt pretty bad depression for a long time. Something about that experience burned me out. I had a really hard time recentering. Ultimately, they chalked it up to taking way too many diuretics for way too long and it really messed something up. Girl, like, sue the studio. Sue the trainer the studio got you. Like, the fact that your job is forcing you to take diuretics to look a certain way.
No, that should be fucking illegal. It should
be illegal.
It's really terrifying.
To the point where you're like mentally, physically destroyed by it. Like, how is this? Like, the fact that this is fucking legal makes me, ugh. Okay. It wasn't until his Australian sabbatical, remember he's been in Australia, that he really started to reevaluate his approach to fitness. For the first time in his working life, Efron had a window to take a real break and to fall out of shape. Now, this part, I want to give everyone a trigger warning for body dysphoria and disordered eating. Okay. At one point, that was a dream of mine, what it would be like to not have to be in shape all the time, he says. He had been acclimated to a certain level of fitness since he was a kid, joining his father on runs. What if I just say, fuck it, and let myself go? So I tried, and I was successful. And for all the reasons I thought it would be incredible, I was just miserable. My body would not feel healthy. It just didn't feel alive. I felt bogged down and slow. Thanks to the harsh lessons of his post-Baywatch recovery, Efron has a new awareness of injury. About 4 years ago, in the span of a year and a half, he tore his ACL, dislocated his shoulder, broke his wrist, and threw out his back. He also shattered his jaw, he says, though that was not a training injury. He'd been running through his house in socks and slipped, smacking his chins against the granite corner of a fountain. He lost consciousness, and when he woke up, trigger warning for injury, his chin bone was hanging off his face. When I asked him about this, okay, so there was a little break between what I just read and this next paragraph, but they're talking about the photos of him where everyone's like, what's going on with Zac Efron's face? Why does it look like that? Did he get a lot of Botox? Did he get a lot of filler? What's going on?
And what year is this again?
This just came out.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So then the interviewer says, when I ask him about this, this being the photos of his face, he tells me that the masseter muscle used for chewing works together with the other muscles of face like a symphony. When he was injured, the muscles on the inside of his face and his jaw had to compensate. He works with a specialist and does physical therapy to mediate this, he says. But in Australia, he took some time off from that too. The masseters just grew, he says, shrugging. They just got really, really big. So basically he's saying the reason his face looked different is because after he broke his jaw, his muscles were overcompensating for the injury and got really bulky. Damn. Which I don't know any health stuff, but I think
I could see that.
But all in, this was a really tough thing to read because it just breaks my heart because you can imagine that it didn't probably have to be like this for him in his life, right? Like this, what seems to be near constant anxiety about the way that he looks and food and his body and fitness. And like, he was cast in High School Musical so young. It just makes me think what we don't see from child stars, right? Because like the effects of Hollywood obviously are so present in moments like this, and they're trained from such a young age to need to look a certain way, to be popular, to be liked, to get acting roles, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And we know all the effects of like fat phobia in everyday life and even on celebrities, but like, at what point is there a real reckoning in the way that Hollywood literally just manufactures eating disorders in literally everybody? Because it, like, their need, like, it just, I know it makes me sound like some, like, hashtag like woke millennial on Twitter, but like there needs to be something done about this. Like they cannot keep getting away with this. Like,
no, I mean, I say this all the time, how being famous is like a curse, because I think there's like a large, like almost garden variety amount of like dysmorphia and like unhealthy coping mechanisms that are pushed upon you at like every angle, from the studio, from the people that work with you, from people that make money off you, from people you hang out with. It's almost like just either by chance or by like maybe your will, if you come in late to the game, that you can be around people who aren't going to treat you this way and push you into these corners.
It's just such a sad thing to read.
No, it is sad. And like, I mean, the thing is, so like, I guess, I mean, I don't know if this is more in the piece or if you know more about this, but since it was plastic surgery rumors, but he was claiming that because of the injury he had, the muscles grew back in like a different way that kind of looked like plastic surgery. I see. But like, that's the thing, is it's like, even if it was plastic surgery or not, or it's this thing or not, again, it's still always like, wow, look at what they used to look like and how they look now, and it's worse. And look, they're losing that thing. And oh, I guess all we really cared about in the end was how they looked and how we cared about them in the first place.
No, that's right? Literally
like
it.
It's still.
Apologies, I had to put my.
It's just like that.
Down.
It's just like that thing in general with We talked about this a few weeks ago with, oh my God, was it Joe Jonas who did the...
with Joe Jonas and the Botox.
Yeah, and the Botox stuff. It was still just like...
Where he's like, I need to know that I look like me. Because the way I look now is my brand, and I can't look different than my brand because it gives him anxiety.
And it's the thing is, it's like, I do have sympathy for these people because like, they obviously truly believe it. And the people around them obviously like reinforce the behavior and celebrate it in a way, or literally give interviews to celebrate it in a sense. So I do have sympathy for them. But like, I mean, what has to be done is like, I can't even think of what that would literally be at this point.
Now, you know, I
studios have been messing with people's bodies since the dawn of time.
Like, you know, I will just say this. You know, I've talked about getting help with disordered eating, and I've talked about that struggle that I had. And you know, I was listening to something Jeanette McCurdy was saying about how, you know, she doesn't talk about, like, you know, so much of this stuff about disordered eating is like, this is something you deal with for the rest of your life, and you just have to, like, every day is a battle. And Jeanette McCurdy was saying, like, actually, I don't really center it in my life anymore. Like, I don't want to say that because it just feels so hopeless to feel like that's just like all my life is going to be forever. But I would just say, generally, I think what makes me most sad is like, and I can't police other people's journeys or healing or whatever, but the most important thing I learned when I was getting help for anorexia was that I would not find peace until I found a way to live my life not centering food in everything that I did.
Yeah.
Because in those moments, it was constantly like, how am I going to burn this off? How am I going to make up for this?
Nope.
Oh, I'm sitting here playing a video game. I'm not burning calories. So for every hour I'm playing, that's one less thing I'm going to eat for dinner. This is how I'm going to get around this. This is what I'm not going to do if I go out drinking with my friends, right? Like, every single thing in my life revolved around food, even things that had nothing to do with food and eating and working out and like,
because you find ways
keeping
to make
some
it a part
kind
of
it. Control and equilibrium, right?
And there's always a moral implication.
Yes. And I learned really that any way of living that continued to center food and fitness was ultimately going to lead me back into dangerous disordered eating.
Yeah.
And that I had to completely decenter it from my life. And that has had its own struggles and tribulations. Like, you know, I do forget to eat sometimes, but it's not actually because of disordered eating. It is because I am trying like not to think about food that I do sometimes go without actually like taking care of myself or feeding, because I'm trying to live my life divorced from that thought. So it always comes with things, and it comes and it goes. But like with this, you know, it sounds like the way that he's healing from having a really scary fitness journey is to continue focusing on fitness. And that's where it just makes me sad.
And I hate the thing, like, the thing that was really painful too is that like, oh, I decided to let myself go and not care, but I found out that I was just hurting myself still or felt terrible. And it's like, well, honestly, you're not going to recover or get out of this until you get like long-term comprehensible help that fundamentally changes the way you see these things, because you can't just switch the pendulum and expect it not to be disordered either.
I was lucky in the sense that I got treatment when I was 21 and I had struggled with anorexia since maybe I was like 13 or 14. And it obviously was like a pendulum, right? Like it was like getting really skinny and then gaining a lot of weight back and then getting really skinny again and like that kind of thing, right? But like I was very lucky in that I got it taken care of young. At least I got help young for myself. But there is so many like long-term health consequences I have just because of it, right? Like pains and, you know, undernourishment and how it affects your body, like severe undernourishment, severe deprivation, even for like 6 years. And I mean, granted, those 6 years were like during my developmental years. So that probably also really fucked it up. That is really a big part of it,
unfortunately.
But you know, like I did hurt my body in doing that, right? Yeah. And I have things that for the rest of my life are just going to be things I have to deal with and live with because of it. And so like, it really does make me sad when I see these actors like, you know, eventually you do get old and it almost becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy where you're in this industry that is damaging your body. So then you are like feeding into the behavior that is damaging your body as a way to like fix it or heal it.
And they don't,
but you're like exacerbating the problem. And then
that's the thing. It's
I'm sorry. This is so depressing.
But no, like, but this is how I mean, this is why we love podcasts like Maintenance Phase and stuff, which shout out to them. But like this is the whole thing with diets and regimented eating and this like almost like fascist like control of your own body, or like, again, where you put food as the number one priority and center literally everything around it, which is like what America loves to do because they make a bajillion dollars doing it and then get to demonize us for the way we look. You're betting on your future. Like the only reason that a lot of people can even look this way is because they are harming themselves, and the harm takes decades to develop. And then, like you said, self-fulfilling prophecy, by the time they get there, they have a whole new slew of problems that they really can't fix. But again, because America can make money off anything and we love to make suffering profitable,
you can create sell that again and sell the solution.
Yeah, then you can sell, oh, now that you're an old actor, you can do this and you can do that, and that's where the plastic surgery comes in, the Botox and the fillers.
I'm not trying to demonize body work or all of that, or like Reiki or but like, you know, you basically instill a culture of disordered eating and disordered fitness practices in a generation of actors, starlets, Hollywood hanger-ons, just people of all ages.
And thereby just pop culture in general.
And then you like basically feed into that destruction of their bodies for years and then say, oh, also here's wellness. You know, all those pains that you have, all those problems that crop up, you know, it's not the things that we were telling you to do that made you feel like that. But we do have the solution for you. Do this now, right?
It's like literally when corporate America starts doing wellness as a part of their like, you know, work-life balance.
It's like shooting someone and then selling them the bandages. Like,
that's America, baby. That's this grand United States, mama. Like,
and then charging them for the gunshot.
And like, then charging them for the healthcare. And then charging them for the delivery back home.
Oh, God. Yes. Well, in less sad news, Diana Jenkins, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star, has donated $100,000 to Tom Girardi's victims.
Okay, this, when I saw this, I heard the show was like even worse than ever.
You want to talk about
like,
a bullet?
Oh my God. I'm shocked because I thought, I didn't know where Diana has been like aligning, because apparently everyone
she's like Erica's BFF this season.
So, but yet she's doing this?
No, this is confusing to me. Okay, so.
But I've heard her Instagram stories are wild too. Like, so petty, she's like petty,
fully
petty.
Racist against Garcelle, pro Lisa Rinna, pro Erica Jayne. So Page Six says that she was not aware of Lion Air Flight 610 until it became a topic of conversation on The Housewives. She says she felt so much sympathy for the widows and orphans left behind. Quote, I know firsthand the pain and suffering that accompanies the loss of a family member. Having lost my brother in the closing days of the Bosnian War, I want to do what I can to support those people who suffered so much. A press release from her charity, the Sinella Foundation, shared that the funds will benefit the immediate family members of the 189 passengers who were killed in the fatal flight in 2018. Jane, 51, appears supportive and commented several red hearts under the post. So they're doing damage control because whatever happened at the reunion and whatever is about to happen on TV is really bad. Well, you did see that this is the week where she basically tells Erica, I don't give a fuck about those orphans. What about me?
Oh, wait, you mean Erica tells Garcelle that?
No, Erica tells Crystal that.
Crystal, yes.
Oh, and so they're just getting ahead of that. Right? And also now she's donating money and there's charity. We already know about money. But she also posted
about it too, right? Like she's very much like, look at me donating 100K to these people.
It just gives me bad vibes.
It's bad vibes.
There's something bad going on here and I don't know what it is.
Also, like, I mean, maybe we can find out more later, but I do want to see how $100,000 actually makes it to these people. Is she just alleviating the bill that the lawyers are charging, or is it actually going to their pockets? Like, that's the real question I need to ask.
We also have a Broadway star feuding with Brooks Marks. Do you want to hear about that?
Why?
This is also from Page Six.
Brooks Marks of Brooks Marks by Brooks Marks.
Yes. Brooks Marks of Brooks Marks by Brooks Marks. Yes. As seen in the runway for Brooks Marks by Brooks Marks.
Yes. And now famously at the Ross $5 bin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I'm going to read you the Page Six copy because I can't explain this. Broadway star Jessica Vosk slammed Meredith Marks' son, Brooks Marks, via her Instagram story on Tuesday.
It's already too obscure.
After he was caught going live on Instagram during her concert Sunday night.
Wait, during her concert, but she's a Broadway star? Does she also do music?
So she was doing like a Broadway concert, right? Like probably like a set of standards or something, okay. Right? She's like, I'm going to sing the blues. Like, rat-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And like...
Stop. It's circus music in general.
And then Brooks Marks goes live from the audience.
Oh, that's not good.
Okay, that no way. It gets better.
Unless this is like a really better. Big okay, concert.
Really glad to hear your skincare routine, but please don't go full voiced live while someone is performing
okay,
for you.
Full voiced.
It's kind of shitty to the singer. Thanks, boo. She wrote over a screen recording of Brooks's Instagram live video. Brooks, quote, who's 23 years old, son of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Meredith, quote, went live while Vox was belting out Happy Days Are Here Again. So she's like, happy days are here again. I don't know the song, but I imagine it's something like this. And he's like, okay, guys, like, I'm here today. Like, I'm going to tell you guys my skincare routine. And just, like, starts listing off his skincare routine, like, from the front row of this Broadway concert on Instagram Live. Like,
I'm sorry,
is there
is
more?
Funny. That
is there is more? Funny. Is there more, like, delusional behavior? Like, okay. Say you
can
were,
they please put this on the show?
Say you were at,
I wouldn't be
a movie theater.
Okay,
and somebody
start going Instagram
starts
live.
Doing a TikTok live of themselves.
I would go and like, buy a doing gun. Like, ASMR. I apparently can easily because I would not be able to handle
like,
that.
Like they start doing like an ASMR live TikTok.
I
video.
Have yet to actually. This is why I'm sorry I don't live in Los Angeles, but I've yet to see someone actually be that messy in public.
Oh, I was in Gelson's once, and someone was doing like a Instagram live like shop with me at Gelson's video.
No,
like an influencer.
Were they talking to
with
the
a
camera?
Ring light on their camera? Yes,
with the ring light. No, I mean I've seen the girls do like a TikTok.
Also, you see a lot of lives going on at Griffith Park, like when you're hiking.
See, again, this is
they'll be like recording themselves
because ew.
All the people having like photo shoots on at the like Griffith Park Observatory.
Oh, or that like that pink wall that's in the middle of like a fucking like parking lot. Yeah.
Okay, so
the way that you'll be in LA and you're like, and it's for this.
Okay, so
this is what you're filming.
He was talking about a variety of topics, including his skincare routine. Some fans in the comment section heard Vosk's singing in the background and asked Brooks where he was filming his live from. And then he goes, my skincare routine is Peter Thomas Roth and Amanda Caroline skincare. That's all you need to know.
Again, actually possibly iconic behavior. That is so funny.
Everyone's
to me.
Like, my guy, are you at
what
a
is
concert?
Happening? Are you singing?
And he's like, Anyway, so use the Peter Thomas Roth BHA cleanser, like, available now at Nordstrom. Use code MARKS at checkout.
Sorry,
like,
this comment, will you send Jen a tracksuit when she's incarcerated? And then where are you, question mark? Also, love the full 694 people viewing this Instagram live.
I know.
And now it's on page 6.
Honestly? Honestly?
Taking the book from his mom's school of dramatic tricks, because Meredith would honestly do the same. I mean, it's just like when Meredith was in the bathtub after Jen got indicted or arrested and everything.
Oh my God, she really was in a bathtub.
She really was in a bathtub for hours.
Like a fucking serial killer.
For hours.
Yonatan kind of is iconic and reminding me of a little bit, though. Like an Instagram live that nobody watched, making news in page 6.
Like all Instagram lives that end up in page 6.
The Delta Work video that basically created very Delta's modern success TikTok.
Oh, so iconic.
The fact that in all the videos that you see of it, of Delta, like, talking about, like, those little gay guys in the front row with their iced coffee swishing it around thinking they're so bad, like... Yeah. That video had maybe 70 viewers on Instagram Live.
And like 1.2 billion impressions on TikTok now. And it's like one TikTok with like 800 different cuts because it was 2 hours long and every moment was iconic.
Yes. No, but like while it was happening, it had like 70 people watching at most.
Well, some of us are brave. Some of us are boots on the ground.
I will be turning on. She's the one person who I have Instagram Live.
I was about to say, notifications are turned on for Delta Work and now Brooks Marks.
Okay, so
get them to collab.
We also have some nice news, which is Jeanette McCurdy has gone on to once again praise her healing bond with Miranda Cosgrove, saying, "Quote, I'm very grateful." I'm only talking about this because like so much of the news around "I'm glad my mom died," which I'm gonna read once I'm not going through a divorce anymore and have a little bit more stable control over my emotions.
Absolutely recommended.
Yeah,
you do not need to rush on it.
I just think the news cycle needs some good news or like some bright news, right? That like it's not just like sad darkness.
I mean, the book, while the book is obviously very, very disturbing,
my vibe
traumatizing
that I
triggering,
get from it though is it is hopeful for Jeanette.
Absolutely,
to move forward.
Yes. No, it's from someone we're talking about this in the Discord, but it's from someone who's clearly on the other side of therapy, like has dealt with, acknowledged, and learned from what has happened to them and what they're going to do going forward, and now can speak on in a way where it's more like, here's the story. Don't boohoo for me. Don't like, it's not to expose anybody. It's literally just so I can finally tell everybody what's been going on, which is why I love it. I think it is good news ultimately in the end, because a lot of the stuff that she also talked about stuff we knew as well. So it's more, it's honestly more so confirmation
so
for a lot of
Jeanette
us.
McCurdy says that longtime friend Miranda Cosgrove helped her reevaluate her issues with women amid a very complicated relationship with her mom. She shared all this on a recent appearance on the Red Table Talk. Saying, quote, I'm very grateful for that friendship. It did provide me a lot of comfort in those really challenging years. My relationship with Miranda was hugely healing to my concept of women. My mom was always saying, men will never really know you and they'll hurt you, but women will know you deeply and they'll hurt you, which you tell me which is worse. I had three brothers who I love, and I felt this sort of trust towards boys that I didn't get, that I didn't feel towards girls very young. Miranda helped to heal that relationship. It is something I still struggle with. And I definitely can see where she's coming from. I do think that, like, we joke a lot about, like, women are foot soldiers of the patriarchy, but, like, I do think there are a lot of women who have been trained by their family, by their fathers, by their brothers, by their friends to hate women and mistrust women and see other women as an enemy. And I think it is really cool to see someone saying that that is what they were taught, but also that the way I got out of that was by being friends with women, right? By not giving into that. And just to know that, like, out of all the darkness that happened on the set of iCarly and out of all the darkness that, like, went on that we don't need to know about and we don't necessarily deserve to know about, I think that that's like something I can confidently say. It does still feel good, at least, that like there was some bright spot for these people, because like so much of it now in context just seems like this endless pit of despair at Nickelodeon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And knowing that like there was something salvageable from those years in their lives does give me like some hope for them, and just like I think add... I don't know. not levity. The story doesn't need levity, and these two certainly don't owe the public levity, but just like,
I hate to say hope, but like,
yeah, kind like of. I'm glad that there was something that they got out of this. Well, that also, there was something like, that helped them get through this. Because like
the narrative before, like especially when they rebooted iCarly and we knew that Jent McCurdy was not going to be playing Sam again.
And that's also
there was
what
definitely
I'm
this like story or this like perspective that like they weren't friends or she was on the oust.
Or but, that like Jeanette was mad at Carly.
Yeah,
that was
but it seems much
Miranda.
More like mutually yeah. agreed, like totally fine. It's and they're I think cool we, now. Jeanette just knew that was not for
I
her.
I think we've talked about this before, that my vibe very much is, just from reading about the interviews and talking to different people, is that like, for Miranda, it probably felt very healing to go back into this experience and like reclaim it and make it her own and have a sense of control and ownership over something that previously she had no control or ownership over and was very frequently tumultuous, it seems like, from the outside. And we don't need to infer anything else that they have not shared with us. But like, I think that for Jeanette, she's made it very clear that like, my healing does not involve relitigating iCarly. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And it's honestly
whereas,
not
like,
a very
I'm not
large
saying
part
it's like Miranda's either, but like I can imagine, at least for me, I definitely can relate to feeling like this thing was bad. So I'm going to take it and make it my own. And then that is going to be how I move on from it. Yep, right. Like no, I am exactly. not the kind of person that just like cuts it out of my life, burns it, throws it away and never thinks about it again. That like runs counter to myself. Right. I'm like, oh, this like restaurant was like the site of like a traumatic event. I'm going to go there. I'm going to have a party and I'm going to have a great time. And then yeah. I'm going to replace that bad memory with a good one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that we don't need to infer anything, but it does make me hopeful that, you know, despite all of the counter media narratives and prevailing attitudes from everyone about whatever happened on the set of iCarly or the reboot, that these two are on good terms. I don't know. Shout out to yeah. women.
Shout out to women supporting women.
We also have, speaking about women,
what is this?
Speaking about being in women's business, Tucker Carlson reacts to major Hollywood starlet Jennifer Lawrence having nightmares about him. We are not going to read that.
I was like, excuse me?
Kim Kardashian's newest business venture is in private equity from the Wall Street Journal.
This is going to be the beginning of the end, isn't it? Like
SKKY
this...
Partners is her new private equity firm with former Carlyle Investment Group person, hanger-oner Jay Sammons. They said that Sky will make investments in sectors including consumer products, hospitality, luxury, digital commerce, and media, as well as consumer media and entertainment. Sammons has previously worked for Beats by Dre, worked through brands investing like Beats by Dre and Supreme. He left Carlyle at the end of July after more than 16 years and says he continues to make similar investments as he did at Carlyle. Kardashian says, quote, "The exciting part is to sit down with these founders and figure out what their dream is. I want to support what that is and change who they are in their DNA." But just, sorry, I misquoted that. "I want to support what that is, not change who they are in their DNA, but just support and get them to a different level." They say they haven't made any investments yet, but plan to make their first one before the end of the year, and that they haven't begun fundraising, but plan to start doing so for institutional investors shortly. Kardashian also declined to provide details on the expected size of the fund.
Like, really, what's
the money? We love money laundering.
I was going to say, and also, like,
it's giving very much washing money at the laundromat. Like,
this really just fits also her like recent pivot to like the Americana blonde girl kind of thing. Like,
oh,
it's definitely the new
she's
era.
Running for president.
Oh, absolutely. It's on the way. Like,
just kind of talking about the Kardashian West universe, I also have this one last thing about Courtney Cox clapped back at Kanye West after he said
back.
That
what
Friends wasn't funny.
Well, it's not.
It's not.
It's not funny.
And would it never shock you was. To know that Courtney Cox is really trying her hardest to convince everyone it is?
Poor girl.
Poor girl. So
don't
sad.
We have, what was that show? Cougar Town? Let's talk about that instead.
Was Courtney Cox on Cougar Town?
Yes. She was literally the main character with Busy Phillips.
Shout out to Busy Phillips.
I mean, she was the real star.
Oh, man. I'm sad about Busy tonight.
I know.
Oh, well. Anyways, that's all I've got for you. Do you got anything for me? Do you have any gifts for me?
I have nothing to provide to you whatsoever, except for I fully thought this was Bimini Bamboolash in the interview article with Kim Kardashian.
It could be if you blink hard enough. It could be if I hit you in the head.
Your eyes a little bit and throw your head back.
Let me get a weight and just knock you over.
Do you feel like stylistically these are even good photos?
No.
I feel like they're very boring.
It's fine.
People were like, it's so weird and interesting, like, oh, it's different. And I was like, it's not really giving. But like you said before, Kim Kardashian is like sold as like the sex is sold, but she's not sexy. Like she doesn't possess that allure or like anything that interesting from it. And it's just like,
okay, girl. So Nadia Lee, I think, did the photos. I have enjoyed some of Nadia Lee's stuff,
mm-hmm.
but I'm trying to see.
Well, the photography is its own thing, but
no, I know. I was just trying to see. I think Nadia Lee did the photography for it.
Yeah, it looks like it.
I mean, it's very much like the, oh, I saw this show.
What are you talking about?
I saw her show at LA. I can't tell you who I saw it with because that's confidential. Remember I told you I went to that art gallery thing in LA the last time I was there? Yes. It was this person's show.
Oh.
I think, or it was this person, but I'm pretty sure. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's literally
where it's like the fictional people, and it's like
yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's much more interesting.
Yeah. Wait, actually, is this the artist? No, I think it's Nadia Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So that's weird. I guess I did just see that show, and it wasn't very interesting. Great gowns, though. Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns.
Had some interesting pictures. You know. I was enjoying the sights and sounds.
Colors.
The colors moved me.
The shapes.
Textures
at times.
Well, that's all we've got.
It is also 8 million degrees up in this.
Olivia Wilde has really pissed me off. She's really
grinding my
shit in my grits. Like, she's really
shit in your grits.
She's really
sneaking my
pissed
boot.
In my pot. You know, she's
fish in a barrel.
She's really fried my fish, you know.
She really fried my fish, honey.
Not this,
mama. Did she fry your fish?
Not this accent. Not this voice. I'm gonna cancel you for this. Okay, do you want to get out of here,
Miss Candy Silk Culture?
Okay,
sorry, you're not copping in for worse.
3, 2, 1.
Good.
Hi.
Oh yeah.
My name is Brooks Marks. I'm live in Broadway watching Leah Michelle. Anyways. I like the Peter Thomas Roth BHA cleanser. Do you like that cleanser? You can also see my mom in the new Real Housewives of Salt Lake City trailer, available everywhere. Goodbye.
Come on, if you know the words, let's go.
What do I think of her?
Yes.
I don't think of her.
Bless a red wine and a swisher. I think you get the picture.
Here I go. Oh.